Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I want to finish my message. I didn't have quite enough time this morning, and I want to remind the Lord just such a... The first four verses in the King James, King James has given us the first four words, in verse 8, Jesus Christ the same. Man, what a powerful four words. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. We talked this morning about Jesus Christ the same. And we talked a little bit about how things change, and we know that they certainly do. I thought I'd maybe kind of revisit some of that just a little bit differently. I thought about changes in technology that we've experienced just in the last 100 or so years. I mean, think about the changes in technology. Think about, you know, maybe 150 years ago from stagecoaches to trains to jet planes. Think about how communication alone has changed in the last 50 or 60 years. From telegraphs and mailed letters to internet, Facebook, and texting. From manned phone lines. Remember Andy Griffith's show and how he'd pick up the phone. He'd go, Clara, get me, you know, whatever. And I don't know how that worked, but they had manned phone lines, I guess. I can remember my grandmother's back in the early 70s. We had a party line, and that was always a lot of fun. But communication has certainly changed, hasn't it? The way we count, we've gone from abacuses. How many know what an abacus is? To calculators. From typewriters to computers. Things have really changed, haven't they? But I'm glad that some things will never change. The immutability of God is the theological term which simply describes an attribute of God, which means God is changeless. He will never change. This theme is given throughout the Word of God in Psalm 102, verse 27. Says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. They'll never plan a funeral for God. He said in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In this same book, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12, says, and a vesture shalt thou fold them up. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and thy years shall never fail. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is a changeless God. And for us to think of God in any other terms than immutability would be for us to view God or to think of God as less than perfect. If God changed in any way, God would be less than perfect. Now, we learned this morning that, you know, we do change. We change physically. We talked about that, and we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. But, you know, other things about us can change. Our opinions can change based on knowledge that changes. Our abilities can change. We can get trained for things, and that can change. Or our abilities can become decreased as we age. Experiences and how we view things can change. And so a lot of things about us change, but we also learned this morning that when it comes to humanity, some things never change. That is, physical needs never change. We need food, water, clothing, and shelter. But what was the main thing that never changes? The most important thing is this. People need the Lord. People needed God 1,000 years ago. And if this world goes on another 1,000 years, which, by the way, I don't think it will. But if it did, people will still need God. That need will never change. We need the Lord. And I'm glad that He's there for us. I'm glad that some things never change. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. I just want to preach on some things that never change. The first thing that never changes tonight is the Word of God. Aren't you glad for that? The word of God will never change. Jesus said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. You know, men seek to have their words immortalized. Some men do. And some men's words in a way have been immortalized. I can think of just a couple that you could probably relate to. I can think of, I've heard this over and over again on December 7th when, was it 1942, when Pearl Harbor came and FDR came on and he said, you know, today is a day of infamy. And he gave that speech. You can think of Martin Luther King's words as he said, I have a dream, and that speech that he gave. And I can think of in 1960, I've heard it. I was just a baby, but I've heard it a few times when JFK, when he was inaugurated, he would say, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. So these words have been immortalized, but these too fade away. Men's words will ultimately fade away, whether they're in books or whether they're not. But listen, the word of Christ will never fade away. Listen, he speaks and his word commands obedience. Whether he's speaking to a storm when he says simply these words, peace be still. And immediately the Bible says nature itself will obey the word of God, because when he speaks, listen, his words must be obeyed. Or whether it's to a legion and he would say, loose him and let him go, and 1,000 demons would flee from him. Now listen, and he would be found clothed and in his right mind. Or whether he would be saying to the one at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, simply say, rise, take up your bed and walk. And after 38 years of never being able to walk, this man gets up with not 1 minute of therapy and walks out. Yes, his words must be commanded. And if it's at a graveside where he says, Lazarus, come forth, and the dead get up. Hallelujah. Listen, his words command obedience. But think about this. I like these words maybe as well as any. When the woman taken in adultery was brought before him, and they cast her down, and they say, the law says we should stone her and kill her. But what do you say? And you know how he really didn't say much, but he writes in the sand until all, you know, you that are without sin cast the first stone, and they begin to leave. But what I like, here's what I like. He said to her, he said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, Lord, I don't have any. And here's what he said. Neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Man, those are powerful words. Do you remember when you came to the Lord and he said, neither do I condemn you anymore. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad he doesn't condemn. Listen, men's words would seek to be immortalized, but the word of Christ will abide forever. This Jesus, born in another man's stable, buried in another man's tomb, never went to college, never wrote a book, neither does one book in the Bible bear his name, but make no mistake, the book is all about him. Listen, he never led an army or never led a nation. He only had a ragtag group of disciples, never left his birthplace more than 50 or 60 miles in either direction. But I want to tell you, this itinerant preacher from Galilee changed the world. And his words are immortalized forever. His word will never pass away. It will never change. Now, my preacher's mind, I've been working on this sermon some this afternoon. And I begin to think this. What if his word could change? Now, I know that's make-believe, because we know that I've just told you it won't. But aren't you glad that it done? Because, you know, sometimes corporations will change the way they do things. You know, their procedures and their standards and their specifications and things will change. And what do? They send out a memo. You know, they'll send out a memo or an email. And if you mess up, they'll say, well, didn't you get the memo? You know, could you imagine if God's word could change? Could you imagine as
As you leave this world and you get to the other side and you stand before him and he says, depart from me. And you say, wait a minute. Wait, I followed your word. And he said, wait, didn't you get the memo? Listen, hey, if we cannot count on God's word, we cannot count on God. But I'm glad his word will never change. He'll never send out a memo. Trust me, changing anything in the word of God. I'm glad some things will never change. Amen. His word will abide. Psalm 119:89 says this, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. His word, think about this. I love this. Preachers will love this. Jesus Christ is saying, that's the theme of the pulpit. That's the theme of the church. Verse 7, remember when I talked about verse 7? He said, remember them which have rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or the end of their lives. You see, pastors can come and pastors can go, but the perpetual shepherd of the church is none other than Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's why the church always marches on, because our leader, our captain, is alive forevermore. He does not come and go. He is there forever. He is the perpetual shepherd of the church. And the message of Jesus Christ is the theme of the pulpit. That is what we proclaim. That is what we preach. Now, you know, we live in a day when a lot of folks have decided that, and I don't want to get off on a, you know, chasing rabbit trails on this, but I think it's apparent and I think it's obvious that we live in a world where in many pulpits, the theme of the pulpit is not Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you agree with that? And I'm not, you know, pointing fingers, and I'm not, you know, saying this church or that church, but I think it's apparent that, you know, a lot of folks, they want to go to the social issues, and we can talk about social issues, and we can talk about, you know, things that our world is facing today, and we can talk about, you know, all these things, but if we do not talk about them in light of the Word of God, and then add the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and preach Jesus, let me tell you, we're in big trouble. Yeah, I prayed. I prayed for this morning service, and I've been praying this, and I prayed it here, and I said, God, if you don't show up tonight, let's just go home now. Do you feel that way? If he don't show up, let's just turn the lights off and go home, because if he don't show up, we're not going to get anything accomplished. Amen. Right? I mean, the theme is him. Amen. It's all about him. The theme of our preaching, the message, since the word of God will never change, since the pastor, the perpetual shepherd of the church, will never change, the message will never change. The same gospel that Peter preached in the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, when he stood up and he began to talk about Jesus Christ, the one that God has raised from the dead. You killed him, but God raised him up. He preached about Jesus. The same Jesus Paul preached about in Corinth. He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message. I mean, and the old time preachers, they would say it. And Bobby reminded me the other day, we were talking about something. Bobby Laverty, and that old preacher used to do this. Well, brother. Remember him? What was his name? Homer Brooks. He said, we can start out in Genesis, Exodus, or anywhere else, but we've got to get to the cross. Right? Because social issues are not going to change men, women, boys, and girls' hearts. Oh, it's good to know these things. And if you want to get clued in on them, watch the news. And again, we can talk about them. But we must never let the theme of the pulpit change. Whether I'm pastor, whether somebody else is pastor. Because when the theme of the pulpit ceases to be about the one that died for us, that was buried, and that rose again the third day, listen, we're way off base. He is the message, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. You know why? Because the means of salvation will never change. It will never change. God is never going to put out a different message. The means of salvation, God is never, I wrote this down, I thought this was, this was cute. I thought, God's never going to decide that He's been a little bit too strict on us. You ever, now if you have more than one child, especially if you have three or more, I guarantee you, and if you have grandchildren, I double dog guarantee you, that your children or your older children versus your younger children have said, I wasn't allowed to do that. Well, it's not that we decided maybe we did decide we were too strict. I was pretty strict on my oldest daughter. But you know, I mean, think about it. You do that, right? It's kind of like the thing where, you know, the new mom, if the baby drops that pacifier, that new mom will pick it up and throw it away on the first baby. The second baby, she'll pick it up and wash it off with hot water, put it in the baby's mouth. But if she has a third baby, she'll pick it up, go like that, and stick it in the baby's mouth. You know, things change. But listen, God's message will never change. The means of salvation will never change. God's never going to put out a memo and say, you know something, I decided I've been too narrow about this. I know the Bible says straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life. And it says few there be that find it. Well, I've decided that I've made it a little bit too narrow, so we're going to incorporate all religions of the world. Bless God, He's never going to do that, because the message is never going to change and the means is never going to change. And there's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12 is there and it'll never go away. And so that settles it. There's only one way to be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. God will never decide that, well, you know, they've been pretty good, so maybe I'll make an exception for so-and-so because they've been good people. They've been a good person throughout their life. No, He's not going to make that clause in anybody's judgment on judgment day. He's not going to say, well, you know, they were pretty generous. And they always gave when the offering plate went by, and they were good to people, and they were this and they were that. He's never going to say that. He's only going to look in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is found written, you'll get in. And if it's not, the Bible said He will say to you, depart from me. I don't know you. Oh, I don't want to hear that. You see, the message never changes, so the means never change. And you know what else now? Buckle your seats now, because here's what it means. The promises never change. Amen. You know, remember when we were kids, did you ever say this? Did you ever say, what was this? Stick a cross my heart. That's what it was. If you was telling somebody, you'd say, oh, you know, and if you really, and you meant it, and you told somebody you're really going to stick to it, you'd say, cross my heart and hope to die and stick a needle in my eye. Well, I tell you what, I'd break a promise before I stick a needle in my eye. I don't know which is worse, dying and going to heaven or sticking a needle in your eye. But that we would say that as a child because we wanted people to know that what I'm telling you, I mean. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't need an oath. If God says it, you can take it to the bank. If God said it, whether you believe it or not, it will come to pass. Think about this just for a moment. Let me give you just a couple promises that stimulate your mind a little bit. Think about this. God called a nomad named Abram and renamed him Abraham. He called him and he said, I want you to head out to a city that I'll show you. And he said, by the way, he said, I'm going to make of you a nation that it will be like the sand of the sea. Your descendants will be like the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. And his wife was barren. But guess what? God kept His promise. And you know what? God promised to deliver, to go down in the land of Egypt, You know, it took a long time, and they cried for 400 years. Well, close to 400 years. I'm sure they had it okay at first. But somewhere along the line, that other Pharaoh rose up, and they began to cry out. And for 400 years, they were in the Egyptian bondage. And listen, God promised them a deliverer. And you know what? God kept his promise. God told Noah that if he would build the ark according to his specifications, don't tell me God's not interested in the details. He said, if you'll build this ark according to my specifications, you and your family and those that come in the ark will be safe when the storms and the judgment fall. Guess what? God kept his promise. Amen? God promised in the Garden of Eden and all the way down through the Old Testament that he would send a Messiah. And we just celebrated his birthday. How those angels showed up and said, boys, listen, I've got some good news of great joy for unto you this day. In the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. He kept his promise, and he promised that if we would call on him and seek him with all of our heart, that he would save us, that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He kept his promise. He saved me when I called on him. And guess what? He promised that he'd never leave us, that he'd never forsake us, and I believe him. And you know what he promised? He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You can count on it. The word never changes. The message never changes. The means never change. The promises never change. It gets better. The love of God never changes. Oh, I love that. You know why I know that? Because the Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I like John 3:17 too. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what God's interested in, because he loves everybody. Matter of fact, Romans 5:8 said, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That song we sing about the love of God is greater. That talks about the sky being a parchment. And if the oceans were ink, it still would not be able to hold and to tell about the magnificent love of God. You know something? God will never decide that he don't love us. God will never, because you get up with bad breath in the morning, decide. You know what? I don't know that I really love them. God will never, because you don't pick up after yourselves and he didn't, you know, and all your quirky habits and you know, tendencies and all that. God will never just take a step back and go, you know something? I didn't know I was getting into this. I don't love you anymore. God will never do that. Aren't you glad? Amen. I don't have any of those, but I know some of you do. I'm glad he'll never do that. You know, so many people do that. They just decide they don't want to love anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And you know what? God will never say, well, they don't pray enough and they don't read enough and they don't even go to church enough. And so because of that, I don't think I love them anymore. Now, he won't even do that. Did you know that? You see, we don't read and we don't pray and we don't go to church striving and trying to make God love us. That's not why he loves us. You'll drift away from God if you don't do those things. But guess what? Even if you drift away from God, he still loves you. He still loves you. Now, here's the thing. You must realize that the love of God and the grace and the mercy of God are two different things. God loves sinners, but that doesn't mean they're saved. But he does love them. And God loves us unconditionally. I'm glad they don't ever change his mind about that. I'm glad that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Now here's, now get this. I want to get this right here, because this, I really like this. You see, he proved his love, and the Bible said this, greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Every step to Calvary, he proved his love. Every sweat bead that formed on his forehead, and every sweat bead that became as blood in the Garden of Gethsemane while he was agonizing with God. Listen, that spelled out for you and I his love. Every lash of the whip that they beat his back with cried out to you and I love you. Every thorn on that crown that they mashed down on his head and as it went into his forehead, every thorn reminds us, I love you. Every blow of the hammer on all three nails in each hand and into his feet, every blow, I love you. I love you. I love you. He loves us. Every agonizing breath and exhale that he labored to do as he hung on the cross of Calvary, each time that just spilled out, I love you. God doesn't just say that he loves us. He proved it. Oh, what a Savior. No wonder we sing that song. Oh, what a Savior. Hallelujah. No wonder we praise him. No wonder he's glorious. He loves us. He gave his life for us. Aren't you glad some things never change? Aren't you glad? I'm going to give you a couple more and then I'm going to let you go. I want you to understand this. God's long suffering never changes. I'm glad God's more patient than I am. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you. Because sometimes I lose mine. But he never does. As a matter of fact, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He says that God is long-suffering. That means very patient to usward. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Boy, his long suffering. You see, he demonstrated his patience in the days of Noah when he said to Noah, my spirit will not always strive with man, but for the next 120 years, he told him. And for 120 years, Noah worked on the ark. And then after the ark was done and everybody got loaded in, 7 more days of grace. Can you imagine? The door was open. The Bible tells us that for 7 days, I'm sure there was loading involved, but for 7 days, people still had a chance. And Noah would have probably loved nothing more than to lead people to the knowledge of the God that was about to send judgment on this earth. That's how patient God is. And you look around us right now, and you look at the world that we live in, and you look at the cesspool of immorality all around us, and you tell me God's not a patient God. Because every day that we have here on earth is one day more of an open door to grace. God extends the invitation. Last one. The mission of the church will never change, and I'm glad some things never change. You see, I think we have four. And I'm just going to hit them real quick, and I'm going to just focus on the last one just for a moment. Number one, our mission is to exalt Christ. Amen? Amen. Exalt Christ in praise and worship because he inhabits the praise of his people. Number two, it is to expound the Word of God. We are to take the Word of God, and we are to teach it, and we are to preach it under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that men and women will understand and men and women will hear and be converted. We are to edify. We are to expound. We are to edify. That is, in teaching this, we are to build up the saints. Make them stronger so that they can win this race and live a victorious life for Christ that only comes through the Word of God and through prayer. And lastly, we are to evangelize. So that's the four. Exalt, expound, edify, and evangelize. That's our mission. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel, and teach all things that he commanded. To tell everybody is what he said. Acts 1, 8, he said that the disciples will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon them, and they should be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Our mission has never changed. Just as Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, the mission of the church is still carrying on the orders of our captain. Seek and to save. And you know what? I think we need to do all four well, don't you? The mission of the church never changes. Well, let's get a song. I'm glad some things never change. Well, there's a lot of changes around us and technologically and all. You could go on and on and on about all the changes. But I'll tell you what. I'm of the adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right? I'm glad some things never change. The Word of God never changes. The message never changes. The means never change. The promises never change. His love never changes. His long-suffering never changes. And the mission of the church will never change. But one of these days he's coming. And then we'll be glad. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your presence, for your love, Lord, as we spoke about that great love that you loved us with. Oh, and you proved it in all of those ways. And yet, even now, you're blessing us because you love us. You care for us. Lord, I'm glad there's so much truth in that. May we take your love and share it with others. May we do our mission well. God, tonight, maybe there's someone here that doesn't know you. Maybe there's someone here that is away from the cross, perhaps weak or indifferent. Lord, touch their hearts tonight. May they not allow Satan to rob them of one more minute of living in victory for Christ. Lord, there's victory in you. Greater are you that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you for that. Speak to our hearts. Touch tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.